The title of today's address is Another Day in Paradise. Now, sometimes when we hear the word wonderful, we think of exotic places, the Grand Canyon, Mount Everest, and man-made wonders such as the Great Pyramid of Giza. Its estimated weight, 6 million tons, made up of some 2 million stone blocks, each weighing between 2.5 and 15 tons. And then we have modern wonders such as the International Space Station, the first permanent human presence in space. A series of international astronauts have been living in the ISS 400 miles above us for almost a quarter of a century now. But we don't have to climb Mount Everest or hitch a ride to the ISS in order to experience awe. The wonderful is all around us. We just have to stop and pay attention. A simple example. Josh is sitting at the piano. He moves his hands. Josh's action there set up vibrations that travel invisibly through the air. And these vibrations are picked up by our eardrums and are transmitted to our brains. And in our brains, the signals are processed and in some amazing way, they're understood and recognized as what we call the sound of the piano. Not to mention the amazing ability of people like Josh to sit at an instrument and read music and sometimes even play music from memory, complicated music. You're free to go now, Josh, until the next hymn. Now, it's astonishing enough for one person to be able to do this. But when you consider an orchestra, a large number of people with different instruments and producing harmonic sounds in sync, however more amazing is this? We go to a concert, we listen, but do we realise the wonder of what it is we're seeing and hearing? I know I don't. And then the reading of music brings us to consider how our eyes can interpret letters and characters and symbols and make sense of them, not only for each of us individually, but in a way that's understood by all of us collectively. Just think of the development of languages, different communities of people, varied languages arising in widely scattered places, but all of them allowing people to communicate with their fellows. How extraordinary and amazing is that? And just think of the progress that's been made in the area of written communication. First primitive writings, cave drawings, languages, writing, printing. Characters allowing information to be easily passed from one person to another and from one generation to the next. And now to the point where any of us, any one of us, can have access to almost all the world's information at the drop of a hat. Which brings us to the wonderful world of computing. My first computer in the early 1980s had 1 kilobyte of memory, a Sinclair ZX80. It was just a little bigger than a packet of cigarettes. I got it in a shop in Grafton Street, you may remember, Tomorrow's World. Now, to see what was going on in this machine, you had to connect it to a television set. And a tape recorder was needed as well, because when this little gadget was turned off, everything was lost. If it hadn't been put on the tape recorder. 1 kilobyte. Many people here won't even know what 1 kilobyte is. It's about 1,000th of a megabyte. But megabytes are old hat these days. Today we talk in terms of gigabytes and terabytes, each of them 1,000 times the size of the one below. Today a smartphone can have 256 gigabytes of memory. Now, if you imagine a kilobyte as a cup of water and compare it to 256 gigabytes, you would have enough water to fill 26 Olympic stadiums. Or to put it another way, if a kilobyte was a Rubik's Cube and you put them one on top of another until you got as far as 256 gigabytes, they would reach up to 40 times the height of Mount Everest. This is a mostly taken for granted miracle, and we have it sitting in our pockets and in our handbags. And speaking of computers, we have to be amazed at the development of our ability to interact with these machines, not only by typing in words, but by simply speaking. Almost everyone at this stage will have heard of Shazam, a program that allows you to press a button when you hear music being played on the radio, and astonishingly, within a few seconds, you'll be provided with the title of the music, the name of the performer, with links to other music by the same performer, and even information as to where this person might next appear. This miracle of technology would be utterly unimaginable only a few short years ago, as would the dream that our machines could pick up signals from satellites overhead and direct us to wherever we wanted to go. The everyday miracle of the global positioning system. And what about our digital assistants? If I was to say, "Hey Siri, please play Another Day in Paradise," a machine sitting in the corner would play this song by Phil Collins. And now that I've said this word, maybe it is possible that a number of people listening to this will find themselves unexpectedly entertained by Phil Collins, a speaker sitting silently up to now on a shelf nearby. Now maybe as we're at it, we might try this. We'll bring everyone's machines to life, will we? So, Alexa, please turn on RTE Radio 1 from TuneIn. And, "Hey Google, will it rain in Dublin today?" Now, hopefully these instructions will have been taken up by some of these little gadgets and will have given people at home some entertainment today. I was hoping my phone wouldn't ring in the middle of this. But on a more serious note, have we ever invented anything more extraordinary than our ability to fly? The first powered controlled flight of an aeroplane occurred on the 17th of December, 1903. The Wright brothers, their aircraft flew for just 12 seconds, a distance of 120 feet, 36 and a half meters. And yet only 66 years later, men were standing on the moon. I feel sorry for people who fly so often that they can't see flight as the everyday source of wonder and awe, which it is. You make your way into what is essentially a metal cylinder with wings. And thanks to all these developments, which have occurred since that first flight, the flying machine takes off with you and hundreds of people in it. Not only that, but someone comes around, offers you food and drink, as casually as if you're sitting in a cafe. You look down over the clouds. You have entertainment to pass the time. And a little while later, you land in a different country or in a different continent. But far from looking upon this as the mind-boggling invention that it is, we complain about the flight being delayed. The food is not up to scratch. And even more astonishingly, we protest that we can't pick up a Wi-Fi signal to keep in touch with the people at home. The sad fact that yesterday's miracle becomes today's everyday experience. And we can easily shrug our shoulders and say, "So what?" Meanwhile, on the ground, nature is producing its own miracles at every single turn. The miracle of conception, the birth of a baby, how a child gains intelligence and language skills. And just consider the evolution of species. The fact that somehow, bizarrely, animate life emerged from inanimate beginnings. And then there's the mystery of gravity. People down under in Australia and New Zealand, they're firmly bound to the earth as we are. They don't fall off. They have no experience of being upside down, no sensation of being upside down. And then what about the inner nature of matter itself? When we break matter down into its smallest parts, we find that what appears solid is mostly open space. I'm told that an atom is about 99.9999% and more open space. The only reason we don't experience this emptiness is because the electromagnetic forces between atoms gives the illusion of solidity. But matter, including our bodies, anything but solid. I'm told that if you were to take all the atoms of one human body and remove the empty space, you'd be left with something very dense, yes, but only the size of a single grain of sand. So the combined atoms of everyone here in this church wouldn't be enough to fill a teaspoon. The reasons for giving rise to awe and wonder go on and on and on. And you'd be glad to know that I don't intend to go on and on and on. We're nearly there. To experience awe and wonder, all we need to do is stop and look and listen, pay attention. Albert Einstein once said, "He who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe is as good as dead. His eyes are closed." In our world, which is inclined to place more value on efficiency and productivity rather than contemplation, it's easy for us to forget to pause, to stop, and experience the utter magic of the wonderful world that surrounds us. We need to practice real presence, in other words, mindfulness, in order to be fully here, in the moment, without distraction or judgment. In fact, the definition of mindfulness given to us by Jon Kabat-Zinn is the awareness that arises from paying attention on purpose in the present moment, non-judgmentally. Stopping to notice will allow us to break out of the habit of taking this awe-inspiring existence for granted. It will help us overcome the tendency to dismiss the extraordinary as just routine and everyday. Albert Einstein again, "There are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle." Einstein, as he reflected on the world around him, clearly had a deep sense of awe and wonder. Like Einstein, we can choose to notice the extraordinary in the everyday, or we can be content to view life through a very clouded and routine lens. And what a pity it would be if we were to go through life unmoved by the miracles that surround us on all sides. So for all this magic, we have to have a proportionate sense of gratitude. Just imagine, if you or I woke up today with only the things that we expressed gratitude for yesterday, where would we be? I'm not asking you this question, I'm asking myself as well, because we can all take these everyday miracles for granted. Which brings us to a quote from C.J. Chesterton. "If the only prayer you say in your entire life is thank you, it is enough." So tomorrow, when we each wake up to experience the gift of yet another day in paradise, we give thanks for the fact that we've opened our eyes yet again to a world of awe and wonder. But there is work to be done. We look around this Garden of Eden that we occupy, and we see horrifying examples of selfishness, cruelty, and man's inhumanity to man, not only in the last, the bloodiest of our centuries, but even today, we see it on our TV screens, we hear it on the news. It can be heartbreaking and depressing, even soul-destroying. But remember the service in the church last week. Frank, who's here today, read for us the poem Desiderata. "Let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism." So, realizing the beauty of this world, let's rededicate ourselves, each of us, to the work of kindness, understanding, tolerance, the celebration of difference, cooperating together to preserve this planet and to help realize the potential of our wonderful world. Amen.